I'm supposed to push record, right?
It's already on.
It's already on.
Did you put your... Right here.
Thank you.
There we go.
And now I will be in big trouble with Myron if I don't record it. He will not forgive me.
Yeah, he's next door. He'll run right over here.
All right, there we go. So I'm Jimmy Harris. I've been on staff here for about 4 years, 3 years, 3.5 years, something like that. And I oversee the small groups ministry, so I'm the person you would talk to if you want to get plugged into a group or you'd like to lead a life group. You can come talk to me. There are about 100 life groups all over the place in Spring Hill and Thompson Station, Fairview, Franklin, Leapers, all over the place, all the way up to Nashville. So there's probably one close to your house. The easiest way is to look on the little map on the website. But if you have any questions about any of that tonight, you can ask me after we do our little lesson. I'm going to be talking about two big ideas that are important. So grab your book, turn to page 45, and you might be thinking, this is week two. Why are we on page 45? These are not in order because of the teachers actually wrangling that many different teachers every different week being different. It was just too difficult to put them all in a line. So does that make sense? So you're going to bounce around in your book. By the end, you'll have gone through all of it. Page 45, Our Discipleship. Well there? Okay. So if any of you guys have fill-in-the-blank anxiety, the answers are in the back of each little chapter. So if you do ever miss a fill-in-the-blank, they're always there. So if you missed a week, you could always go and fill it in. So we're going to talk about first is the target. Like, why be in a group in the first place? Why try to grow at all? If you're saved and you're going to go to heaven, aren't you just done? And then just kind of wait it out till you die. And you know, because of what Steve's been preaching, if you've been at church, there's more that we can experience here and now. But if I was to go around the room and say, what's a disciple? I could probably get 5 or 6 different answers. And what's the problem with that? If we're trying to make disciples, and we all have a different definition... Yeah, we might be missing it. It would be hard to be unified, right? Because we're all kind of doing something a little bit different. So we want to give you a really simple, clear definition of what a disciple is. But I'm going to tell you a story first. So there was this marksman in the 80s. It was the Olympics, and it was his final shot to get the gold medal. And, you know, marksman bullets, you know. And so he lines up to take his final shot, and he only has to get between a 0.7 and a 0.9 to get the gold, and he's gotten that high of a score every shot. So it's just an easy win for the gold. And so he lines up, takes the shot, and they start high-fiving his teammates, and he's cheering because he's like, I just won the gold medal. But the people that are in charge come over, and they start checking his gun, and they're like, what happened? Your gun didn't shoot. Maybe the bullet misfired. You didn't even hit the target. And he's like, I know I hit the target. In fact, I know I made a great shot. I know I hit the bullseye even, right? Like, I know I did it. And so they were confused and they're trying to figure it out. Well, eventually they figured it out. He had shot a perfect shot in the target next to his. It was the wrong target, but it was a perfect shot. And that's actually the reality with discipleship or making disciples. Is the problem isn't that, you know, I don't want to convince you. You need to go make disciples because you already are. The problem isn't that we're going to miss a little bit. The problem is that you're going to hit what you aim at, right? So whatever you're shooting for, that's what you'll get. So if you think, well, I want to be a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus said to go and make disciples, so I want to make disciples. You think, well, what is a disciple? What's a Christian? What's a good Christian? You think, you know what a good Christian is? A nice person. Then you're going to say, you know, that's my goal. I'm going to shoot for nice. And so you're going to go to small group and you're going to go, everyone here isn't nice, right? Sometimes they're not nice at all. Or how do I make everybody be nice? And they'll say, you're leading the small group. And they come and they're just messing it up. They're not being nice. Or you might think, you know, what's a really good Christian? A really good Christian, what do? They know a lot of stuff. So then you'd say, my goal is that you're going to learn a lot of things. And so if you came to my small group, then I would just say, I'm going to teach you tons of stuff. And if you learn all the stuff, then you're a good Christian. And so you memorize things and you learn things and you fill in the blanks and you know a lot of stuff. And that's what you'd be shooting for. So that's what you would get. The problem is, if we're really honest and we like really look at the church, we step back and look at the church in general, and we say, what is the product of the church? Okay, what is a disciple from the church? If we looked at the statistics today, a Christian is very similar to a non-Christian. You almost can't tell them apart. The statistics line out that they have all the same addiction rates. They're divorced at the same rate. They're addicted to pornography in the same ways. And you think, these should be different, right? But the factory, if you go back to the factory and you go, what's coming out the other end of the factory? And you say, well, if it's a bicycle factory and toasters are coming out the other end, what would you do? You could change the name. You say, we're a toaster factory now. Or you can go back and go, well, what's wrong, right? What's missing? And I think one of the things that's really missing is a clear definition of the target. What are we trying to do? The church's purpose is to make disciples. Jesus said, go make disciples. In fact, it's the only thing that we've been authorized by Jesus to do. In Matthew 28, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded, and I will be with you always to the end of the age. That's what Jesus said. So then everybody, that's what they were supposed to do, right? That's still what we're supposed to do. He didn't say, go make churches. Now, if you have disciples, churches will happen for sure, right? But if you can have churches with no disciples. Do you see the problem? You can become a Christian today and never become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And so what is a disciple, right? So that's what we're going to talk about. That's why it matters. So in order to grow to spiritual maturity, is your little fill in the blank, and walk in community, every Christian needs to become a disciple. So what is a disciple? So I'm going to draw a little triangle. Okay, you guys got that on your page. And at the top of the triangle, I want you to write follow. And on the little side, I want you to write changed. And mission. So Jesus is, actually in his very invitation to the disciples, he embeds the definition. In Matthew 4:19, you'll find that Jesus is, when he's inviting the disciples to follow him, hidden in the invitation is the very definition of what a disciple even is. Because he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, I will make you, which means you're going to change. And he's going to be the one doing the heavy lifting, right? I will make you fishers of men. It's not just about you. It's going to be about other people, fishers of men. The story actually is Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee, and he walks up, and they're cleaning their nets, and they had just been fishing all night long, and they've got these nets all lined out. You can imagine. Remember, these guys are pro fishermen. Jesus gets in Simon's boat and teaches from the boat, and then he says, Simon, go out into the deep water and throw in your nets. And Simon's like, Lord, we fished all night, and we didn't catch anything. Plus, he knows that you don't fish in the deep water because he's a fisherman, right? And he's going, looking at Jesus going, but since you said so, we'll do it. And so he goes out and he throws his nets out, and they catch so many fish that the boat is filling up with fish, and it's actually sinking the boat. And they're having to call these other boats out from the shore to come help them because they have so much fish. And as they're coming out, that's when Jesus says this. He says, come to Simon. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But right before that, you know what Simon says? He looks at Jesus. This is Simon that eventually becomes Peter. He looks at Jesus and he says, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Because he realizes who's in his boat, right? His first response, the second he realizes who Jesus is, I don't have any business being around you. But Jesus doesn't say, it's all right, you know, don't feel bad. He says, come follow me, right? And I will make you a fisher of men. Follow, change, mission. So I want to talk to you about each one of those pieces because they're all really important. So when Jesus says, come follow me, I just want to talk about follow, what it means to follow Jesus. It means that Jesus is alive. Part of the good news for us, even tonight, is the good news is that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He still speaks. He's communicating. He wants you to have a relationship with him now. Not when you die, now. He wants to speak to you. And so if you're wondering, am I a follower of Jesus? You can ask yourself the question, do I ever talk about Jesus? Does Jesus even come up? Come on in, guys. in my everyday conversation. Am I ever thinking, this is the last thing that Jesus said to me, and is that a past tense? Jesus showed me when I was 14. Or is it present? Is Jesus, in a very practical way, alive in your world? If he is, you're following him, right? You can't follow someone who's dead, right? You can only follow somebody if they're alive, which would mean I would be going, God, what do you want me to see today? What do you want to show me? No, a little confession. I've been 3 goals every morning lately, and I've been writing down these 3 goals every day in my little journal thing. And one of them is to listen. And at the end of the week, I just go, did I listen for God to speak to me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? You know what I mean? That's just one of my goals. And that was like 3 out of 7. 3 out of 7. You know, I'm a pastor, okay. So like 3 out of the 7. When I looked back on my week this last week, I thought, I really actually stopped and went, God, what do you want to say to me today? 3. Think about that. I read the Bible and I heard things and I was around stuff. But did I stop and say, God, what are you doing today? You understand what I'm saying? Follow. Following Jesus is because Jesus is alive. We're on page 45 if you guys want to follow along. So part of being a disciple is being a follower of Jesus. And you can't follow Jesus if you don't know what he said either, right? You can't teach people to obey everything he commanded unless you know everything Jesus commanded, right? And that's what we study in our small groups. When Jesus comes back, and he says, what did you do in your small groups, Jimmy? I want to say, I taught people to do everything that you said. That's what we did. That was the curriculum. The curriculum was Jesus, right? And it's not going to change. It's Jesus teaching people to do everything that Jesus said. That's it. So that's what we're doing. That's what the purpose of the group is to make disciples. So following Jesus, change. You can't follow Jesus and stay the way that you are. Like, how many of you want to go get in a small group and 5 years later say, you know what, I'm exactly the same as I was 5 years ago? It's like, what's the point, right? It's like, you know, it's like, I want to change. I hope, you know, you're like me. You have things about you you want to change. Anybody in here have something in your life you'd like to see changed? Something healed, something transformed, something made new, something dead to become alive, something to get resurrected, you know? And that's the point, is if you follow Jesus, he says, I will make you, right? Come follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. He's going to do it, but it's not going to happen as a passive process. You're part of it, right? So you have to be a part of that. He's never going to make you, force you, right? Follow me and I will make you. So you can't stay. There's going to become a point, and it's very simple, where God's showing you something and he wants you to go this way and you don't want to. And that's where you part ways with Jesus. You're not following him anymore. He's saying, I want you to do this. And you're going, no. Well, he keeps moving. He doesn't sit still. He's not tame. Right? He keeps going. And now I'm way over here. Right? And so if I'm going to be transformed, I have to keep following him. Right? And it's not complicated. It's just, what's the last thing he showed you? That's it. What's he showing you? Anybody kind of know? Like, God's showing me. Lately, God's been showing me, fill in the blank. Anybody got one of those you could share? Lately, God's been saying, trust me. There you go. That's all you got to do. Like, every day you don't go, I wonder what I'm supposed to do in my relationship with God. I wonder what I should be focusing on in my small group. I wonder what I should be studying. I wonder what I should be thinking about. It's that, right? That's it. This is the only instructions. It's the only live thing you've got going on. That's the deal, right? He's like, that's what Jesus is saying. And then you get down to here. Boy, what will happen if you begin to trust God more and more? I guarantee you're not going to be the same person, right? Does that make sense? So as we change, this is usually the part that gets dropped off. It's like, man, I'm really following Jesus and he's changing my life. The end. And so that's why I'm always like, please be a life group leader. But the mission part is it's about other people, right? So he's not saying, come follow me and you're going to be changed, the end, right? That's not what he said to Peter. He said, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's pastors. But aren't we all disciples? Right? Maybe not everybody in here is like, I'm a teacher, you know, or I like to do this, or I want to do that. But everyone's a disciple, and we're all called and empowered to reach the whole world through Jesus, like all of us. So whenever I say the word mission, people think of Africa. That's like the first thought, Africa. I don't know why. I guess because we send a lot of missionaries to Africa. I think it was about 2 years ago I met some missionaries from Uganda in Spring Hill. And I was like, cool. So are you guys like visiting from Uganda? But you're missionaries in Uganda? They're like, no. We were sent from Uganda to Spring Hill. And I kept going, yeah, I don't get it. So are you saying? And we went around it a few times and then I realized, wait, maybe probably there are more Christians in Uganda now than there are in the United States. Maybe that's exactly how it should be going. It's flipped around, right? Yeah. We all think missions, we think go there. Well, we did go there. People's lives have been transformed. Whole countries changed, right? People's lives have been like flipped upside down. They're following Jesus. Everything's new. And they're going, we need to send some people to the darkest places, like Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. Right? Where do people not really know about Jesus and they're not really following him? Tennessee. Right? Weird, right? Because where do you think, well, we're in the Bible Belt. Mission sometimes means to go. It's a very rare person that's sent out. Most people, the mission is here, where you are, wherever that is. So it's your kids, it's your friends, it's the guys at work, that's it. It's the people who are around you already. That's the mission. The mission isn't somewhere else. So, you know, when people have asked me, they're leading a group, they say, hey, I met some people, they don't go to our church. Is it okay if I invite them to our small group? And I'm like, ah, it's like, yes, it's great. It's like, well, wouldn't we want them to come to the small group, right? Wouldn't you much more likely go to a small group than a church?
Yeah.
I mean, it's way less scary and less weird. You're hanging out with some people and studying something versus you have to listen to a guy talk, they're singing, right? That's all pretty strange. I met a couple, I know exactly how long ago, 29 weeks ago, that came to Christ at Grace Chapel because they saw their daughter's life change. And they live in Leaper's Fork. So every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., we have breakfast in here in the fellowship hall. And I teach them one story in the life of Jesus because they've never heard any of them. They've never heard anything. They've never gone to church. And every story is a brand new story. And they live in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee, their whole lives. They're in their 60s. And they just got baptized 29 weeks ago. I know, because we're on story 29, right? In the life of Jesus. And so the mission field's not somewhere else. It's right here, right? It's around you. It's your kids. It's usually the people that you're already in relationship with. Does that make sense? So when I say mission, I don't just mean like save people. I mean be Christ to the people that are already around us, right? And so when Jesus said it, he said, fisher of men. See how many layers deep that is? Jesus to Peter to men. Three. Which means whatever we do in discipleship should be transferable to the third generation. It means that whatever I teach my son Grayson, I'm actually teaching my grandkids. Whatever I do with my son is what he's going to do with my grandkids someday. He's 15. So it's having that third generation in mind, which means that discipleship should never, ever, ever be so complicated that you can't give it to somebody and they can give it to the next person. People have come to me and said, well, we're studying the life of Jesus, but we want to kind of do something deep. We want to do a deep study. I'm like, that's as deep as it gets, right? It's just you teach it and then you hand it off to the next person, right? See, what we're measuring, obedience is depth. Go make disciples. Teach them to obey everything I commanded, right? 1, 2, 3. So when we think about discipleship, we can't make it complicated. It's just simple handoff, and if they can't hand it off to the next person, whatever we just did was too complicated. It wasn't helpful. And so Jesus is teaching that in the definition. He's saying, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. That's the definition. He didn't like slip it in later. Say, get saved, and then later I'm going to say, but you really should also make disciples. That's like an extra thing you do if you're like a super awesome Christian. He was like, if you follow me, you will make disciples. Now, everybody kind of worries about that. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not making any disciples. I just want to encourage you. It's kind of scary, but it's true. You're already making disciples, whether you're trying to or being intentional about it or not. You are already influencing the people that are around you. Make sense? So it's not like you have to go out of your way, but it does make you think, well, how intentional am I being about Jesus with the people that are around me? And so what would happen if we take one of these away? People go, you know what? Jesus has really changed my life. I don't really know what he's saying to me presently. I remember what he said to me when I was 15. And I am reaching out to all my friends. They do not have a present relationship with God, but they are a different person than they were when they started. And they do things for other people. What's missing?
Fellowship.
Yeah, fellowship with the Lord. Personal relationship with God. Is that going to impact me as a disciple? Yeah, drastically. In fact, the next generation will do the same thing. They'll hand off what I just gave them. So if I did that with my kids, if I just said, I don't have a relationship with God, but God changed my life and you need to love other people, that's what they'll do. And that's what they'll hand off. Make sense? So what if we decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to stay exactly how I am right now. I'm not changing. I like me how I am right now. But I'm going to go make some, be intentional about loving people around me. Then what's going to happen?
People will notice the difference.
They'll know you're faking it.
Yeah.
I mean, are you guys, is anyone in here ever hypocritical? Okay, so so that's what that is, right? It's like everyone's like, no, never. And, you know, whenever I, like, tell my kids, like, don't eat in the living room, and then I'm eating in the living room, my son, he doesn't know how to say hypocrite, but he knows how to say hypnotist. So he says, Dad, you're a total hypnotist. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're eating ice cream in the living room. So follow, change, mission. Now, this is the one that's the most common. People have a relationship with Jesus. They've been changed and they're done. They're not intentional about anyone around them. Their relationships are just happening to them every day. And they aren't thinking, how am I impacting the people around me? They're just kind of happening. Now, that, all of that will still have an impact in the world. It just won't be very deep. It won't go two generations for sure. It'll go one. And that's usually what happens. And we know, because of the statistics, that the teens are not adopting the faith of the parents in you know, American Christianity for sure, but worldwide it's also true. They are not taking the mantle on, which means in 25 years, Christianity, by current statistical trends, is going to be gone, right? In America, not the rest of the world. It's booming everywhere else. About 25.
They'll be sending more missionaries
there. They'll be, exactly. But yeah, of course, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But the point is, we did a terrible job in the last batch. That's the point I'm trying to make. So if you try to sit down with a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old.
I'm 30.
Okay. You have, so you know what I'm talking about. And try to have an intelligent conversation about Jesus or about their faith or what's right or what's sin or is anything, you know, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Does God exist? They don't believe those things. It was not.
A 30-year-old talking to a 20-year-old.
You've had that one.
Same exact thing.
Yeah.
Same exact.
So it's not handed off well. That's my point. It's not handed off well. And that's what this is. That's what that is. And so you guys got it? So a disciple follows Christ. A disciple's being changed by Jesus. And disciples commit to the mission. So spiritual maturity, bottom line, is being like Christ. Now, most of you, when we think, okay, being like Christ, I give up. Because I'm just like Peter. I go, you know, because that's what Peter said, right? The second he realized Jesus was in the boat, he was like, I quit. Right? I'm not like you at all. And I'm a mess. He's like, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And I tell people, you can do this. Like, you can make disciples right now. You don't have to go through a class. You don't have to do, you can just start doing it. You didn't know what you were doing when you became a parent and you love your kids, right? You might not still not know what you're doing, like me, but you're, but it doesn't matter. You're figuring it out, right? It's just as true with being a Christian. So, just like Peter, Jesus is saying the same thing to you. Come follow me, and I will make you a fisherman. I will make you fishermen. He'll help you. All right. So, target. That's our target. The target is to make disciples. That's the purpose of the church. The church exists to make disciples. How many minutes do I have to do this part?
You got about 10 minutes.
Okay. So, see that circle? Mm-hmm. We've all been through that process on some level. We all know about children, infants, children, young adult, parents. Paul uses this language. I wish you'd stop being babies. And he's writing a letter to the screwed up churches. That's what the epistles are. Letters to screwed up churches. Dear, right? Messed up church. That's what it's like, every single one of them. Good thing, though, he says, dear brothers, right? So he's like, you're still family, But you're a mess, right? He's writing them a letter, and he's usually correcting them because they're off. And he's saying, I wish you'd stop being babies, and I wish you would grow up. I wish you would eat solid food and stop drinking milk, right? It's like taunting them to grow up, you know, run the race, persevere, like fight. This is like a picture of maturing like a baby to an adult. And Jesus uses similar language when he says you need to be born again, right? Like a baby, you need to start over. And you need to mature through a process. It's a lot like how a child processes. So really fast, I'm going to have you, we're going to do a developmental psychology class really fast. Ready? It's not really that, but Paul's more like a psychologist than he is a theologian. Like, he really gets people, like, if you read Paul. But if you go, walk around that little circle with me, okay? So what does a dead person absolutely have to get to the next stage or whatever, to grow, to be? What does a dead person need?
Life.
What?
Life.
Yes. What does an infant need? More than anything, what does an infant need?
Nope.
Nope.
Love.
Yes. Love.
Oh, but the milk comes
with love. Because you, don't you that's right. It comes with it. But you can feed a child and not love it, and it will die.
Ah.
It will be permanently harmed. It will literally rewire their brain, and it will be very difficult to deal with forever. We know this, right? Love is essential. So an infant needs love. What does a child need?
Discipline.
Yeah. What did you say?
Direction,
discipline, both make sense. Good words. Right? If they don't have that, they're in big trouble. Right? Mm-hmm. What about a young adult? What does a young adult absolutely have to have? This is a little trickier.
Accountability?
Yeah, that's a good one. What else? What? I missed it. What was it?
Common sense.
Common sense, sure. What else?
Education.
What?
Education,
sure.
Hmm?
A mission, a purpose,
okay.
Or a job, if you like. Okay. Right? They need a vision. They need a purpose. People are really confused about young adults. I know whenever I teach this class, it's the one that's the hardest. And they're just trying to figure it out. And they're pushing all the boundaries because they're trying to figure out who they are and what they have to bring to the world. Right? They need a vision. So a parent, what do they need more than anything? Some sleep. What? Sleep and rest is what everybody always says. What do you have to be a parent?
Wisdom.
Children. Paul, you are killing it. You can't be a parent without children, right? So you just think about it. Walk around the circle, right? Where do I live? When you go up to a mall map, and you're trying to figure out where you are and where you need to go, what are the two things that you absolutely have to know to use that mall map?
Where you are.
Yes.
Where you're
going. And where you're going and where's the food court. So where are you and where are you trying to go?
Come on.
That's it.
It's a big walking.
Same thing's true with spiritual growth. You guys look at this circle and you go, where do I live? If I was going to describe me spiritually, do I sound a little bit more like an infant that cries and needs someone to do everything for me? These are the kinds of things you might say. I like this church because I feel fed there. Right? Because it's like, when was the last time you needed to be fed? No, I've said that, so I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm just saying. That is a, right? That just tells you, like, they're expecting the food to come into them with no effort on their part, except the swallowing. So then you have an infant, like a child, you think, well, am I kind of like a child? Like, I'm rambunctious and I'm energetic and I'm curious, but I'm kind of gullible and I don't really know what I'm doing and I need a lot of guidance. Like, you know what I really need spiritually right now? I need a lot of guidance. If you're an infant, you're like, man, I just need some love. I just need somebody to love on me while I figure this out because I don't know what's going on. I don't know nothing. I feel like a sponge, and I don't know nothing. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're more like an infant. Maybe you're spiritually dead, and you're like, man, I just need to be alive. I feel dead. Like, if I'm really honest, every day I wake up, and I feel empty, and I feel dead. Right? Or maybe you're like, I just really need some guidance. Or, man, I don't have any vision or purpose for my life. I'm just going through the motions. I'm on a treadmill, and I'm pushing the boundaries, and I'm questioning everything, and I'm pushing on every button. But I really don't know what I'm here for. I need a vision. I need a purpose. I have no vision or purpose. Or you're like, you know what? I've got all these people around me, and they're all a mess, and they're driving me crazy, but I'm all just trying to help them survive and get through the day. I'm like, I have some babies, right? If you've got spiritual children, you're a parent. You don't have to be a good one. You don't have to know what you're doing, right, to be a parent. You just have to have some kids, right? And so you think, wow, I've got spiritual children, but I don't know what I'm doing. But that's how every parent feels, right? So think about yourself. Do you guys, everybody know kind of where they live? Spiritually, do you kind of act more like a baby, more like a child, more like a young adult, more like a parent? Anybody? Give me the thumbs up if you know kind of where you hang out. Now, double check it with your spouse. What do you think? Were they close? Now, maybe you're halfway between one and the other, right? Just kind of use the circle there. Like edging towards young adult, somewhere halfway beyond child or whatever, wherever you kind of live. Okay. So number one, discipleship is a process. Okay? Processes are always messy. Definitions are very clear. You want a clear definition and a messy process. This is a messy process maturing spiritually. You're going to go back and forth. I wish I could say, and this is important, that spiritual maturity looked like this. But it's, you know, you just grow at this nice steady pace. That's not how it works at all, right? It's more like this. Right? It's a squiggly line. So, number one, it is a process. Number two, it is not automatic. Number three, it takes discipline to mature. You will not mature in any of these stages without intentionally putting yourself in the right spot.
Takes what again, sorry? Real quick.
Discipline. So it's not automatic. It takes discipline, and spiritual maturity is related to discipleship. We help each other go around that little wheel, and we backtrack, and then we go forward again, and then we backtrack, and then we wake up one day on the wrong side of the bed. We act like a baby again. Okay? And so that's what we're doing when we're helping people grow. I also wanted to tell you this so that you won't be surprised when you go into a small group and someone's acting a certain way and you go, because once you know what's going on, it really helps. You're like, oh, they're a baby. What do they need? They need me to love them. They just come to the group and cry and whine and poop their pants and want me to change it. Right? That's all they need is for me to love them. Or maybe they're kind of a child. And you think, you know what? They just need a little encouragement and guidance. That's what kids need. Like, that's a bad idea, Bob. Might want to think about this, you know? Little guidance, right? Or maybe you got a young adult in your group. And you're like, you know what? I think you could do more than you are. I think you could step up in your marriage, right? I think that you could take somebody else under your wing. Whatever. Or a parent. You get it? So, next page, a bunch of other stuff that's already filled in. Now we're going to talk about it. Here's your questions. What is Jesus showing you? Are you doing this part? Mm-hmm. Good. That's all I've got. Thanks.
What we're going to do now is break up into